Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do you remember you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The resources that I talk about on the broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. Today, for the Eastern Church, Holy Tuesday is in view. And as with Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday is celebrated with laser focus on the end of time. And so time and time again, we're reminded of the eschatological meaning of Passover, of Pascha. Pascha meaning Passover or passage, the feast of Passover being for the Jews the annual commemoration of their whole history as one of salvation. And of course, Christ is that fulfillment of Pascha. He is the Passover Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And so each week, in preparation for partaking of the mystical supper, we're reminded of our eschatological entrance into the splendor of the saints. If I dare to enter into the bridal chamber, my clothing will accuse me, since it's not a wedding garment. And being bound up, I shall be cast out by the angels. In your love, Lord, cleanse my soul and save me. At matins, at daybreak, we're reminded of blind and hypocritical religious leaders who give a tenth of their spices, of their mint and dill, but they neglect the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, faithfulness. Those who emulate the practices of such blind guides do not anticipate the hour of their master's return. And so central to this eschatological message, the message of Holy Tuesday, is the parable of the 10 virgins. And thus, we're reminded to watch, for we know neither the day nor the hour wherein which the Son of Man will return. In the parable, this extended simile with extraordinary sharp teeth, the coming of Christ is likened to the coming of the bridegroom to the home of his bride during the sacramental ritual of marriage. In the narrative, there are 10 virgins, 5 of them wise and 5 of them exceedingly foolish, 5 with oil for their lamps and 5 without. The 5 wise virgins are illustrative of those who practice almsgiving and mercy. The foolish, well, they represent those who selfishly squander God's provision upon themselves. And so the cry at midnight singles the second coming of Christ, when some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. And thus in anticipation we sing, behold, the bridegroom comes at midnight. Blessed is the servant whom he shall find watching. In the wise words of John Chrysostom, Christ likens the gift of virginity, the purity of holiness, to a lamp. And he likens philanthropy, kind-heartedness, help of the poor, to oil. Oil in Holy Scripture invariably serves as an image of the Holy Spirit. And in this parable, the burning oil signifies those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and thus faithful followers of the bridegroom. They're saved. They're being saved. They will be saved, for they watch in faithfulness for the coming of their Lord. Through baptism, they've been enlightened. Through chrismation, they have been empowered. And through the Eucharist, they have been energized as with an earthen pot in a kiln. In the words of St. Gregory Palamas, when a pot is in a kiln, it shares the very life of the fire, taking on its hot and burning qualities, becoming capable of transferring that very energy to something else. And so through adoption, we become by grace what the Son of God is by nature. We become children of God, God's by grace, God's, as Peter puts it, by participation in the divine nature. To be in Christ, to experience his divine life, well, it's to experience his energies, not, of course, to partake in his essence, for no one can see God and live. And so in divine embrace, the bride shares the very life of the bridegroom. This is a foretaste of the time when God breaks into history, perfectly uniting divinity and humanity within himself. The time in which Jesus is revealed as, well, the new Moses, the Moses who carries his beloved bride over the threshold of Jordan into the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven from God. Well, in the finality of the parable, the bridegroom arrives and the five virgins who were ready went in with him to an eternal wedding banquet. And then, says Jesus, the door was irrevocably shut. Later, when the five foolish virgins arrived bereft of the oil of the Holy Spirit, the door had been shut. To the five foolish virgins who belatedly asked for the door to be opened, the bridegroom replied, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you." As with the parable of the 10 virgins, the essence of the revelation of Jesus Christ to the 7 churches in the province of Asia is that, too, of a wedding covenant. You recall that it begins with 7 love letters to a persecuted bride, to true Israel. It continues with the noxious vision of a prostituted bride, emblematic of apostate Israel. And then in graphic Old Testament pictures, we see the judgment of God, a judgment that is written on a 7-sealed scroll announced by 7 angels with 7 trumpets depicted through 7 plagues that befall a prostitute in bed with a beast. And then, in conclusion, there is the unveiling of a purified bride, of true Israel. True Israel carried over the threshold of Jordan into the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven from God. In like fashion, in similarity to the 5 foolish virgins, nothing impure will enter the New Jerusalem, but only those wise and virtuous virgins whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The eschatological significance of Holy Tuesday must never be forgotten. the five foolish, the five wise, the five who enter into the eternal banquet of their Lord, and the five forever shut out. Holy Tuesday hopefully is impressed upon your mind on every Tuesday, indeed every day of the year, as we celebrate, as we anticipate the coming of our Lord and King. Do you remember, again, the resources I talk about on the broadcast? You can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back. Stay tuned for answers to your questions.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Fatal torment, empty tomb, appearances of Christ, transformation. These four witnesses prove the resurrection of Christ, the central truth of Christianity, and our only hope of heaven. Hank's book, The Third Day, examines the historical facts in depth to help you defend your faith and rejoice in your own coming resurrection. The Third Day is our thank you for your gift today to help produce more Bible Answer Man broadcasts and other truth-affirming CRI resources. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to request your copy today. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Carol in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling for my 13-year-old son. He's almost 14. And he was saved, accepted Christ when he was 9 years old. But he struggles with knowing that he's saved, the assurance and peace that he's saved, and that he can't lose his salvation. And he says, you know, he talks to God, because I've said, the only thing I can tell him is to pray and ask the Lord to give him that peace that he's saved. And he says he prays and prays and prays and asks the Lord to reveal himself to him, but he doesn't get any answers. He doesn't feel like he hears from God. And he has a daily, he has a discipline of daily praying and talking to God and reading his Bible. And I just keep trying to, you know, telling him, if, you know, the Bible says, seek him with all your heart and you will find him. But it's not enough to satisfy him. And I was wondering if you have any idea what I can say to him.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I love the description of your son as someone who is similar to what is described in the Psalms as someone who pants after God as the deer pants after the water brooks. That's a very, very good thing. Now, one of the things that's so important is that you explain to your son that salvation is not punctiliar, meaning it's not a point in time. Rather, salvation is a process. We're saved, we're being saved, we will be saved, and that means that we're never saved in isolation, but we're always saved within the context of the church, which is the body of Christ, and which is the ground and pillar of truth. It is the reservoir by which our thirst is quenched. For in the church, we receive the graces that transform us. Now, by way of analogy, Carol, you have a relationship with your son. Your son loves you. You're interacting with your son. That's very clear from the prologue to your question. And so as you interact with your son, your relationship deepens over time. If you were to avoid your son, that relationship would grow rather tepid and cold. But you're nurturing that relationship. Well, that's precisely what happens within the context of the body of Christ. Within the church, we receive graces that transform us. And that's the process that I'm talking about. So, for example, when you partake of the Eucharist, when you partake of the body and blood of Christ, you are energized. You're energized by a power that is in you, but not of you. I was sharing in the first part of the broadcast today about St. Gregory Palamas. He was talking about how when a pot is in the kiln, it shares the very life of the fire. It takes on its hot and burning qualities. It becomes capable of transferring that very energy to something else. But if it's removed from the fire, the pot still participates in the fire's effects, but it no longer participates in the energies of the fire itself. Now, the participation in the energies of the fire is the truer participation than the participation in the effects. And thus, while all God's children participate in the effects of their creator, not all participate in God's very life. That is reserved for the saints in the church who have God not only as maker, but also as father through divine adoption. And I say all of that simply to underscore the importance of not only praying, which is wonderful. I'm so glad that your son has a prayer life. But it's also participating within the church week by week, because it's in the church that you're nurtured and fed. You grow. You grow not in isolation, but you grow just as you would in a family, but in an extended family, the family of God. So all of this is a matter of taking part in the principles that are provided for us, in the principle of prayer, in the principle of reading the Bible, in the principle of partaking of the Eucharist, in the principle of being an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Cumulatively, all of that enhances the relationship, the passion, and really the feeling that we have, the feeling of love that grows ever stronger as we participate in all of these wonderful disciplines that God provides us within the spiritual gymnasium, which is the church. Do remember my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. A lot of what I was just talking about with Carol found in that book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Apart from the truth kept by the whole church, our faith would be uncertain. But the life that matters more, while not a prohibition on truth, it is the transcending of truth, the transcending of all philosophical speculation. It is the experience of union with God, fellowship in the Holy Trinity. Jody next in Washington. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How's it going?
Doing good.
Thanks for taking my call.
A pleasure.
Yeah, well, I had a question. I've had this genetic anxiety disorder for a while, about 11 years, and I've tried, like, different medical, like, drugs and things that haven't really helped, and the side effects have been actually worse than the problem itself. So I was looking for other things to help, and there's this new trend called microdosing LSD. It's taken 1/10 of a dose, and it's not enough to get a person high at all, but it's a medical treatment that's supposed to help people. And so I was looking for a different avenue, but I wasn't sure because it's not legal, and but I would be taking it not to distort my reality, but actually get back to reality and be able to function better in life. So I was just curious if that was biblical or not.
Well, I think, first of all, you have to ask whether it is legal. And if it's not legal, then I don't think that we want to participate in it. If it's not prescribed by a doctor, I'm not sure that it would be a good idea for you to self-medicate with LSD. Have you ever tried to medicate yourself with the scriptures? And there are many, many scriptures that are meant to help us deal with the problem of anxiety. So, for example, you read in Psalm 118 that the Lord is by your side, and because the Lord is by your side, you should not fear or suffer from anxiety. And of course, you know, the famous psalm that we're all familiar with, Psalm 23, says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I can think of many other passages. You think of the Old Testament, Joshua, who said, "Be strong, be of good courage, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And of course, the famous words of our Lord, "Are not two sparrows sold for a thin little copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will." And then, says Jesus, the very hairs of your head are all numbered, and therefore don't fear. You are of far more value than many sparrows. So you can go through so many texts that tell you how great the Lord is and how intimately He is involved with every aspect of your life. And once you get a grasp of that, you don't fear. You're not anxious. So I think that there are solutions that we look to when the solution is right in front of us all the time. And that solution is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight.
I appreciate it, Hank. Thank you.
You got it.
I definitely will do that.
Okay, and thank you for taking that counsel. Thanks for standing with us. See you next time with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.